Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
I'm actually excited about this morning because we get to visit another aspect of this whole idea of church being home and church being family. And I love, you know, the idea that people who have not necessarily had the greatest experience of home or family, I believe, can come to Compass and start to maybe reshape and reform their views and thoughts and ideas about what home and family can be. Because we know how important the family life is in the formative stages of somebody, you know, for a baby growing up and developing. You know, it's told very clearly through research just the impact and influence on how that shapes a child. And it's exactly the same. I see it that when we have new people that come in and they don't know about the Lord and they decide to make that life-changing choice of giving their life over to Christ and start to follow him. The Bible says that they're like newborn babes in Christ that need to be nurtured, developed, and cared for, and fed, and grow, and have their nappies changed, and they need to learn how to walk, and all that sort of stuff, and they're going to stumble and fall and trip. But in our home environment, isn't it scary that when new people come to Compass Church and they start to explore and grow in their faith with Jesus Christ, that could very much shape and form their whole view of what a relationship with Jesus Christ can be like for the rest of their life? Isn't that scary? Isn't that scary that all of us sitting here today have the potential to either positively or negatively impact other people in this room? You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we have a choice of what comes out of our mouth. We have the choice on how we're going to encourage and edify, build up other people in the life of this room. Who here likes encouragement? Come on, every hand should be up, because if your hand is not up right now, you're lying. Now, every single one of us like to have our tires pumped up a little bit. Not flattery. I'm talking about just genuine, sincere encouragement. And now, we know there's certain people have a gift of encouragement. I mean, there's certain people in this room that it just comes easy to them. And then there's other people in the room that they have to think really long and hard for something good to say. You know, the reality is, whether you like it or not, you're called to be an encourager. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I was chatting with Artie about this, and Artie and I catch up each week, or most weeks anyway, and we've got our accountability group that's been going for the last 13, 14 years. But this came out. Okay, let me ask you another question. Who here loves change? You just love it. You just go, yep, I love change. I want change. In fact, I'm going to make change if there's nothing happening. My hand's up because that's what I'm like. Okay, who's at the opposite end of that spectrum? I don't like change. I resist. I'm just not really into change. Put your hand up. You see, you don't want to put your hand up there because you have to change position. You don't like that. You've got to actually lift your hand. That's change. So all these people right now that just in the last couple of seconds just went like this, you're the ones that don't like change. It's okay, I can read body language, I'm with you, that's fine. Your lack of response or no response isn't going to affect the way I preach this morning, don't you worry about that. But let me put this out there to us. When you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and I've got to quote my source and it's Artie, but when we're a follower of Jesus Christ, so blame him if you don't like this statement. But when you're a follower of Jesus Christ, change is not an option. It's a necessity. How can you say, I want to be conformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, but I don't like change. I don't want to change. You can't do it. You can't say, I want to be more and more like Jesus, but I don't want to change. And only you can do that. Only you can make that choice about whether you want to change or not. Now, the area that I want to focus on this morning is about encouragement, about edification, being encouraged in your most holy faith. That we have a responsibility as a church family. This should be the most encouraging place on the planet. Well, because, I don't know. Okay, let's do this. Show of hands. Who at work just has to tell people around you, stop encouraging me? Please, no, just stop it. You encourage me way too much. Just, you know, seriously, just stop it. I'm not seeing any hands. I can guarantee you my daughters, when they go to school, they do not have to say that to the environment they're in. As they come home and they said, oh, so-and-so said this, and if they didn't say it, it's posted on Instagram or Facebook or some other social media outlet. And how little of that is genuinely, sincerely encouraging and edifying. Very little. But yet we as adults, firstly, let me address this area. We as adults need to be speaking words of life and encouragement. I love the fact that the first thing that God did with words was create. Let there be, out of formlessness and void, let there be light. Let there be life. And so God wasn't showing off there. What he was doing was actually showing us right from the very beginning that our words need to be used to create and bring life. So just as much as we like receiving encouragement, the Bible says if you want friends, you yourself must be friendly. If you just go, well, no one encourages me, more than likely take a good hard look in the mirror and say, self, we need to go out and encourage somebody. I dare you this week, just in your workplace, various people in your workplace, just to give them a genuine, sincere word of encouragement this week and see what it does to your relationship. Not flattery, because they'll see right through you. But find something that you know is meaningful to them and that you speak with honesty. You're not going to lie. Don't do that. But find something that you can encourage people in. And this environment in church and in our life groups, when we get together. Now, I'm not preaching this because I think that we don't do this, but what I would love to have is that when people come in here, there are just words of life and encouragement spoken into them. There's people in this room, you are carrying heavy burdens, and you just maybe need that smile and that word of encouragement from somebody to get you through this coming week. And I love how we're called to actually do this. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 12, I love the Apostle Paul. He actually says to the Romans, he says, I'm coming to see you, and I'm excited about that, that we may mutually encourage one another. The Apostle Paul understood the principle. He wasn't like, he had, as much as he was the guru of the day, and he's just like the amazing, the Apostle Paul, he knew the importance and benefit of giving and receiving of encouragement to one another, that we could mutually encourage and build one another up. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians. Everyone's a bit quiet this morning. Too quiet. At the end of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells us to encourage each other with these words and to be encouraging. And then in chapter 5, once again, we're reminded in verse 11 onwards, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. So we've got some things that we as a community should be doing in here. And the first one there for me is encourage one another and build each other up. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the gathering together of coming together weekly, as some are in the habit of doing, but get together encouraging one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. When I looked at that word encourage, or to edify, to build up, I found it was really cool. I'd never seen this before. And in the Greek, it actually means to edify, to encourage, means to be a house builder. How cool is that? To be a house builder. Here we are, we're talking about Compass being a home and a family. And if we want that to continue as we grow, but by the grace of God, for that to happen, to be a house builder, to be a home builder, we have to be an encourager. I mean, anyone who's a parent in this room, you would know. Our kids are like sponges. They just soak up the encouragement. I mean, isn't it so sad that the majority of us in this room can probably remember more of the hurtful comments that were made about us and to us by teachers or kids at school and things like that than we can remember any compliment or encouragement? Sadly, it's part of the human condition that we tend to focus on the negative more than we actually remember and hold on to the positive or the good. So this last week that you've just had, somebody may have given you a compliment, but all you remember is the negative comment or the payout that somebody gave you. And we're told here to be home builders is that we're supposed to be encouragers, supposed to be edifiers, supposed to be building one another up. So when was the last time you encouraged somebody? In this room, when was the last time? When was the last time somebody came and encouraged you? I think it should just be part of it. Like, I mean, for our kids, you know, I would love for us, you know, just to walk past. You know, if I see one of our kids, I just go, wow, that's such a beautiful dress. You know, you look so gorgeous in that dress and stuff like that. Their eyes just light up. Happened this morning. It's just like that need that we have to encourage and to build up. And I'm telling you, our teenagers in this church, they need to hear it. Because they're bombarded with so many negative images and what they're supposed to look like and how they're supposed to be. And they're trying to work themselves out in the mix of it all. Wouldn't it be cool if we had just all these men and women of faith, older people who are maybe sort of worked most of that stuff out, not all of it, but most of it out, that we can actually speak words of life into our young people and encourage them and build them up. So when they come to church, you know what? They're coming and they're coming going, somebody's going to say something nice to me today. Somebody's going to encourage me. And what about our little kids, our little champions, like, you know, our little Harrys and our little Frasers and Pips and, you know, just speaking words of life into these guys. And what that does is just begins to create an atmosphere of love and care and concern. You know, that atmosphere of this is a place that I want to be. This is the kind of place that I want to bring my friends to. I say this to people. You know what, on a Sunday morning, like every single one of us, I've got the choice of hanging out with my family, going to have breakfast, which is my most favorite thing to do with my family at the moment. Just hanging out and just talking about nothing and chatting and eating whatever and coffees and stuff. Or my other option would be to go for a surf. And my third option is to go to church. So church better be good. That's what I say to people. It better be good. And I tell you what, if we're not happy with the dynamic of our relationship, start actually shifting our thinking and start actually speaking words of life and encouragement and blessing into people's lives. It's amazing the difference that you can make in somebody else's life. They may be the words. That may be the answer to somebody's prayer. I remember walking into church one night and you know, I always got there early and I just made sure everything was in order and under control. And this bloke, rough as guts, just sitting sort of up the back, arms folded, tats and big lad. And I kind of just went up to him and said, mate, how are you? He goes, yep. I said, mate, well, thanks for coming to church. Yep. I said, mate, I'm Phil. And he said, well, I'm so-and-so. I went, okay, mate, nice to meet you. Yep. And that was it. So I just left him alone, got the impression he wasn't really wanting, you know, a big hug and, mate, you know. So I sort of like just left him alone, but as the service went, I just actually went and sat next to him and just hung out for a bit. And then next week he came back and he was there again on the Sunday night. And I'd gone, hey, mate, I remembered his name. And I said, hey, how are you? That's important, guys. Remember, try to remember people's names. I know it's hard, honey. I know it's hard. Phil with two L's, honey, yeah. It is a good thing. It's not an easy thing to do, but it, you know, it does help make a difference. So I sit down with this guy. I go, hey, mate. I said his name. How are you? He goes, ah, you remembered my name, did you? I went, yep, yeah, pretty hard to forget. And I said, oh, you know, how's your week? Pretty, yeah. Can't say the words he said. I went, okay, is there anything I can do? Nah. Okay. If you want to catch up at any time, mate, no worries. Yep. Okay, we're flying. this is going great. Then on the third week, I sat down with him and you know, I try not to get emotional about this, but like this bloke, rough, he's a ripper guy. He sat down, I came up to him, he said, mate, how he goes? You're not going to give up on me, are you? I said, nah, I got one back on him. He goes, right. He goes, listen, 2 weeks ago, I walked into this church, and because my life is so screwed up and the stuff that was happening in my life, I said to God, God, if you don't show me somehow that you're real, that's it. And he had his plan mapped out very clearly. And he was the kind of bloke that was no... No mucking around. He would have been serious about his plan. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And he looked at me and he said, you know what, if you didn't come up to me and you didn't just say hello when you did and you didn't come back the next week and say hello, I wouldn't be on the planet right now. And I just said, man. I said, dude, anytime you want to chat, anything, you just let me know. And that was over Christmas, nearly every day over Christmas and New Year. I don't say this to go, gee, Phil's eights. What I'm saying is the difference that just words can make. Just go, mate, you're not on your own. We don't ever leave anyone sitting on their own. You know, if somebody comes into this church, we don't want anyone sitting on their own. We try to find something. And let's be honest, for some, with some people, you really have to search hard for a compliment. Now, being honest, some, you know, it's, you know, but you find something that you can just go, hey, just was thinking about you the other day. And if you can't find something good to say, pray about it and ask God, God, give me something. Give me a verse. Give me something that I can speak words of life into this person. That we can build one up. Let's be house builders. Now, the reality of having a church and trying to get people on board and to have a committed group of people that we can build some momentum and we come together and we're speaking those words of life, it's not an easy thing. But when we're all on the same page, speaking the same language of love and edification and encouragement and all being house builders, it's not just Phil's job. Not much would happen around here if it was just Phil's job. Trust me. Got so many talented and gifted people and organized people that stuff actually happens. It's brilliant. But all of us being house builders, and one simple way we're told here is just through words of encouragement. This is a very simple message. This is a very simple message. You know, there are people, Kate, as I was praying for you this week, I just really believe that in the next 6 months, you're just going to find whatever you put your hand to is just going to be blessed. Just going to be blessed. That God is going to just continue just to reveal strategies and it's going to be his timing, but on your business. And before long, your greatest challenge is going to be hiring staff. It's going to be like, wow, this is expanding. And it's like, okay, God knows what's in store. So he's already got the strategy and plan. He's just asking for you to hear and see. And so what you're dreaming and thinking right now is great. But dare I say, dream bigger. Because God has got the people of high standing and recognition that you need to maintain the standard of your business that you have and you want to have. God's already got those people earmarked for you. They don't know it, but he's already got them earmarked for you. So just know that God is working for you. That he's, there are people in this room that, you know, and I'm careful how I say this, but, you know, I was just thinking as we're in worship. You know, I think it's, let me just turn to Hebrews. I've just got to go. I want to get this right. Hebrews 10. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. See, we have faith for today and faith for today and hope for tomorrow. And some of us in the room have been hoping for certain things. Now, some of you in this room, I'm not speaking prophetically because I know your situation and I know you've been hoping for certain things. And so what I want to do today is encourage you, because the next part of that verse says, for he who promised is faithful. That's my word of encouragement for you today, that we hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. So that word that God has given you, that desire of your heart, you know, yes, God gives us when we're created and designed. He gives us and puts within us desires of our hearts. But because he's a loving father, he wants to give us the desires of our hearts that he put there in the first place. So the desires of your heart, whatever that may be, whether it's work-related, whether it's relationship, whether it's marriage, whether it's financial, whether it's whatever area of life that you have an unmet expectation in your life, be encouraged. He who promised is faithful. And for people in this room, and you know that I know your circumstance, I speak it as a word of encouragement. For people in this room that I don't know your circumstance, I speak it as a word of encouragement. I could stand today and I can testify that even for you, Nikki, I encourage you. I just commend you for your faithfulness. As you study, that you did not put God down the ranks of priority in your life, but you maintained your relationship with God and you just continue to show and prove yourself faithful, and you were diligent, faithfully serving through worship and life groups and different things and stuff. And it's not all about the doing, but it reflects your heart behind the doing, is that you are just trusting and being obedient to what God's called you to do. So now that you've come down to the end of your studies and it's time for work, I'm telling you, God has got this. I'm telling you, because I stand here as testament. In going for an interview with 41 other candidates for a job, and I didn't even have my academic transcript. I didn't even know if I'd actually passed my final year of uni. And I'm sitting down, coming up against first year and honours students. I'm sitting there having an interview, not knowing if I've passed, trying to get a job in Victoria when I studied in South Australia. No one knew me. And as I sat there, I'm just going, God, for me to get this is just going to be a miracle. There just has to be your favour and blessing on this interview. And it came through. That God, for whatever reason, he sorted it out. And I want to commend you for your faithfulness. To the faithful, he shows and he proves himself faithful. And he will do it. He will do it. He's got this. Absolutely got this. And for others of you in this room, you're kind of like holding on to something. It hasn't come through yet. He who promised is faithful. But yet I would also say, what does the Bible say? Wait patiently for the Lord. Because why? Because God's timing is different to our timing. You know, and that's all good and well and easy for you, Phil, because like you've gone through the process, you've had the job, and it's easy for you to say, Phil, but yet I've got my stuff right now that I need to go, God, he who promised is faithful. God, there's so much stuff in this community that we could be doing. There's so much stuff in Malawi that we could be doing. I've just got to, I see it. When I close my eyes, church, I see it. I see it, what we're going to do. I see what kind of church we're going to be. I see the kind of churches that God has called us to plant around this nation and elsewhere. I see it. When I shut my eyes, I can see it. It's as real as what we are sitting here right now. It is there. Has it happened yet? No. Am I frustrated? Yes. And that's okay. That's life. It's part of having a dream. It's part of having a goal. It's part of trusting God that there's got to be something bigger, that we're part of something bigger than just us. And I have to hold on to him and go, he who promised is faithful. And so if you're holding on to something this morning, he who promised is faithful. And let me just read this out of Psalm 40 this morning. If you're holding on to something, you're waiting for God in some area, I pray that these verses, I can say so much, but it's always better when we hear from the Word of God. For some of you in this room, listen to this. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And I believe that we've got men, women, got couples in this church, that as you continue just to wait patiently, as you continue to cry out, as you continue just to say, God, I need you, that he comes and he lifts you out of the circumstance. The answer to the problem is not in the problem. We've got to look outside the problem. And where are we called to look? We're called to look at him where our help comes. So be encouraged this morning. I know it's easy for me because I'm holding the microphone, and maybe I should be more honest about my own struggles and things that haven't actually come to pass, so I don't stand here as if I've got all my crap together, because hopefully most of you in this room would know that I don't. That I'm still having to hold on to God for stuff myself. But how good is it when you start to get just an encouragement from God? How good is it how it's like, you know, just starts to bring that sense of, you know what? God's working on my behalf. God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? It's just that belief and that trust. You know, this morning, I'm done. Because I just wanted it to be really simple this morning. I just wanted us to get that understanding of going, you know what? To have a church of home builders, house builders, building this home, and this home will be a place of encouragement, that people will come in and they'll be edified and they're lifted up and showing and hearing the love of Jesus Christ through our words. Man, how simple is it and how cool is it? Let me finish. This just came to mind. Genesis 11 talks about the Tower of Babel. And there was one language that encompassed the planet. And I've talked about this previously, but I think it's pertinent right now, and that is that the Lord came down and saw that they were trying to build a tower so they would be like God or greater than God. And so what the Lord did was gave them all different languages and scattered them around, because the Lord came down and said, if they continue to speak with one language, there will be nothing that is impossible for them. And I believe now the reverse is true in this day and age, as a people, as us, the people of God, speaking with one language of love and exhortation and encouragement and edification, there will be nothing that we cannot do. Because I believe when there's an atmosphere of encouragement, when there's an atmosphere of exhorting and edification, people will be more open to the Spirit of God moving in and through their lives. Because if they put the walls up because people are being critical, if they put the walls up because somebody is speaking behind their back over here and gossiping, they close off to what God possibly is wanting to do in their life. Does that make sense? So we as a community, just keep it simple. If you've got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. Say that to my kids, but I also used to say it as a youth pastor, but I think I can say it to us as a church. We're all adults. And if we've got nothing good to say, find something good to say, or don't say anything at all. Very simple. Cool. All right. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord God, I just thank you that when you look upon us, Lord God, you look at us and you say that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that you knew us before we were formed. You ordained our very steps and days before time itself began. That, Lord God, you know the number of hairs that are on our head. You know how many freckles we have. Lord God, you know our foibles and our failures. And you just love us anyway. That your words that you want to speak to us are words of love, words of life. And your word says that you put before us, choose this day, life or death. Choose this day, blessing or cursing. Choose this day whom you will serve. And as for me and my house, the house of Compass Church, we will serve the Lord. As for me and Nat and my home, with Ruby and April, we will serve the Lord. So today, I put that choice out before you today. As we see in Deuteronomy, God presented that choice before the people. And it's a choice that transcends time and it's relevant to us here today. And that is, you get to choose life or death. You get to choose blessing or cursing. God makes it that simple. We choose life through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. He died taking upon himself our sins and sicknesses and troubles and woes, so that we could hand it to him and we could experience life to the full. We reject that and we do our own thing, and we will pay the penalty and suffer the consequences for that choice also. And that is not just separation from God here on earth, but it's eternal separation from God. Not just physical death, but spiritual lifelessness for all eternity. Choose this day. Choose this day who you will serve. Is it life? Is it death? Is it blessing? Is it cursing? Is it to walk in obedience or is it to walk in disobedience? So this morning, if you've never chosen life, I don't know where everybody's at in this room, but the choice is very clear. The Bible says if we acknowledge that we've done wrong, that we've fallen short of God's perfect standard, that if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, came and he died on the cross, taking the sin upon the world and paying the price, and then he rose again 3 days later, and if we confess with our mouth that he is Lord, that he did that for you and for me, that he will come and he'll forgive us and he'll breathe his life into us and start revealing his plan and purpose for our lives. Is there anybody here this morning, you've never done that, but you would like to do that? You say, yes, Phil, I want to choose life today. I want to choose blessing today. I want to choose Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Is there anyone? If that's you today, can I just ask you to raise your hand? Say, yeah, Phil, that's me. Is there anyone you want to make that choice for your life? Just as I look across. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray this morning in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you've accepted him into your heart and life, that you would be greatly encouraged this morning. That this morning you would know that the creator of the universe isn't just with you, he is in you. That you being a carrier of his presence, he's got all you need. He's got the answer to the problem that you're searching. He's got the wisdom, he's got the creativity that you need to break through in that area of business or to see that breakthrough in that relationship. To see that breakthrough in that area of your health. Any area of your life, he's with you, he's for you, he loves you. His plan is to bless you and to prosper you. And we speak that out over the life of Compass Church today. We just pray, Lord, that there'd be a great atmosphere of encouragement, exhortation, edification, unity. Father God, we thank you for the unity that we have. Lord God, may we continue to protect that and nurture that, and may it flourish and grow. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.